Blog Talk Radio. situation. For example, perhaps in October 2010, they just met their soulmate, and they were happier than ever before. Now, it's October of 2011, and they once again have met their soulmate, yet it's a completely different person? Or is it? If we're not careful, we tend to do what I call cycling. We get into cycles. Cycles in which we go around and around and around, seeing and doing the same things over and over again. Just like a hamster running on a wheel. Year after year, there are different characters in our lives, but all the same basic elements are still present. We think we're moving forward, yet we are clearly moving in a circle. Sometimes the cycling is a holding pattern, in which we never even start moving. Do you know anyone who keeps getting new unsatisfying jobs or keeps discovering new get-rich-quick schemes that never quite work out? Or how about somebody who constantly has no money even though they have a good income? How about somebody who's just about to start a business but needs to do a little bit more research first? Or how about somebody who keeps getting cheated on or dumped in relationships? Some of these people can be as regular as clockwork. You could literally plot on a graph how their life will go. For example, perhaps they meet a person, fall deeply in love, get dumped, and go into a depression. Then, rather than trying to seek help and break the cycle, they simply jump right back on the treadmill and do it all over again. Do you have any negative cycles? Hey, look, we're all human. Of course, we all have one surface occasionally. But because we are human, we also have the ability to break a cycle when we choose to. Cycles, whether positive or negative, are hypnosis. That's right. You have a recording playing in your head that causes you to seek out the same set of circumstances and perform the same activities that will produce the exact same results. Since you are acting on a recording already, why not change it into a positive recording? Why not program yourself to make empowering changes in your life rather than repeat negative patterns? A millionaire is just as habit-driven as a person who's constantly broke, but the millionaire has habits or actions that result from mental recordings that empower him or her, whereas the broke person, well, he or she has habits that consistently drain their resources. People in a successful marriage have communication habits that strengthen their bond, whereas people who find their soulmates year after year after year have habits that destroy the possibility of a long-term relationship. By the way, I think the concept of soulmates is wonderful. But when people meet their soulmate year after year, or even month after month, that is not a soulmate. It's evidence of a negative cycle. Are you ready to break a negative cycle now? Are you ready to lose weight, quit smoking, finally have a healthy relationship with your true soulmate? For the past 22 years, I've been a certified hypnotist. Hypnotism can break the negative cycles and replace them with positive cycles. Go into the new year with a positive cycle. Give yourself the gift of hypnosis. The best part, it can all be done via the telephone. Call me, Dr. Ginny, today at 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. Find out how I can get you on a positive cycle to change your life and make 2012 the best year ever. Have you ever thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth
and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that you could be paying over 80% more for your medications than your neighbors? Would you like to know how you could save up to 89% on your prescriptions? Well, you can visit Canada RX Shop Service Centers right here in Central Florida. Canada RX Shops are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call toll-free 800-967-4582 for the shop nearest you. You can also visit the website at CanadaRxShop.com. Canada RX Shops have a friendly, caring staff that will help you save big on your prescription drugs. There's no hidden fees. Their services do not cost you a penny. You don't have to make a road trip to Canada for Canadian discount prices. Remember, call toll-free 800-967-4582. Start saving bucks on your prescription drugs. Everybody's talking about it. Canada RX Shop is doing it. Call 800-967-4582.
And welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Jeannie. I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica.
And we want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. It's going to be a really good show. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because, the truth is, every Wednesday night show is good.
I thought we had something cool and exciting planned.
We do. Actually, we're going to be talking about the different angels and the different archangels tonight,
ooh,
which is really interesting because we're going to find out the main angels, and also a lot of times people don't know how to pronounce them. And I know that even you and I have actually gone to the computer to a Bible site where they actually pronounce it not only phonetically, but they actually speak it over the speaker so we can hear it.
Because some of them have multiple letters,
yeah,
that just don't seem like they go together.
It's the multiple letters you got to watch. It can be really difficult. You know, I want to talk a little bit. We are going to be taking calls tonight, of course, and we're going to be doing tons of angel readings. So give us a call at 323-679-0882. That's 323-679-0882. There you go. So call in, get some advice, an angel reading, whatever you need. We're here to help. I want to talk a little bit about some of the weird things that have been going on in the news lately. I mean, some really crazy stuff. Okay, first of all, Kanye West,
mm-hmm,
and Kim Kardashian named their son North. So now his name is
North. I know, and I like that.
Okay.
Northwest.
Do you want to be
That's
that
so
kid in third grade? What's your name? Northwest. Okay, knock it off. What's your name? Northwest. Knock it off. Go to the office. No, that's really my
name. I think it's so cute.
My daughter has a birth date. I can't say what it is because I want to give out birth dates, but her birth date is almost looks like you're just putting in a series of similar numbers.
Okay.
And so whenever she puts it into a website, they always come back and say, you made a mistake on your birthday.
Oh, really?
Check your birthday every time, and she gets so frustrated. And I think that if you go to put the word or the name Northwest into the computer, they may come back and say, this is not a valid name.
No, come on.
Well, that's like being called end of street, you know?
Well, let me tell you, my neighbor across the street, she had a baby. She called the baby's first name is Brooke, middle name Lynn. Brooke Lynn. Oh, I loved it. That's so cute.
You know, that's like Drake Bell naming his baby Taco. You know?
Nobody's going to name a child
like,
Taco.
What's your name? Taco Bell. Thank you very much. Shut on top. All right. I just think it's crazy. And then poor Paula Deen. I mean, she lost her job on the Food Network. And, you know, I mean, we talked about that last week. I'm really surprised that this has gotten big. You know?
I know. And everybody knows Paula Deen. Everybody loves Paula Deen.
Yeah.
And the fact that they dropped her show from the Food Network. You know,
amazing.
The fact that they're not going to stand behind her,
right.
I think that kind of stinks.
You know, and all I can say is I think she's a good person, and I don't think that she used that word in a bad way.
No.
Which brings me to the next thing is that I was watching the Zimmerman. I caught some of the updates,
mm-hmm,
at dinner tonight of the updates of the Zimmerman trial, which is just a sadness all the way around. And, you know, I'm not here to say who's right and who's wrong because it's not my place, you know.
Right.
But I was just really surprised because One of the witnesses was using the N-word.
Really?
And, but she was using it in a way like she said that's slang because she was black and she, you know, basically they're, my black friends, they use that word.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think it's confusing.
Well, it's confusing because, you know, it was used way back when.
In a derogatory
way. Manner.
Right, and that was wrong.
Right.
Okay.
But now people call each other that.
Right.
And they're not being derogatory, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's tough. And that whole Zimmerman trial, I don't think anyone should be in the position that either one of them are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sad. I feel for both of them. You know, I always look at both sides of everything, and I wish that young man could be brought back to life.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, his parents have been devastated by this. And it's devastating as a country for anyone to have to go through not only what he went through, but for us to have to relive it every single day.
Yes, yes. And it's been dragging on and on and on.
Well, it really has, because I think some people feel like, I've heard two different sides.
Well, the problem is the other person is no longer alive, so you don't have that perspective.
Right. You don't. All you have is one perspective from one individual, and the results of, you know, and this is the thing, we don't, you know, truly, you know, I know Trayvon didn't have any contusions or abrasions on him whatsoever.
Okay.
But I do know that George Zimmerman had needed stitches,
mm-hmm.
and apparently appeared to have taken a real pounding.
Right.
With all that being said, my question is, where was Trayvon Martin when he was shot? Was he on top of George Zimmerman, or was George Zimmerman standing up and shooting at him?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Well, and maybe we'll find all that out during the trial.
Because to me, that would be very important,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't know if someone was beating me, what I would do. I don't know. You know,
you're going to try to defend yourself.
I would think, you know, and that's the one thing I don't understand is that aren't they going for premeditated murder or murder two or something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that could be premeditated.
Well, no, it's quite obviously it couldn't be. But, you know, what do we know?
What do we know? I don't know. I just and that's the thing. I think that the media, one minute they're showing Trayvon as a 12-year-old little boy. Next minute they're showing him in this hoodie. Making him look like a gangster,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you sit there and you're like, okay, why can't we just be honest with people and the media not try to twist everything?
And
up?
That's the problem. The media gets involved,
right?
And then we go.
I mean, it was raining out that night. He had a hoodie on.
Right.
I put my hood up when it's raining out too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's kind of a, you know, I mean, there's just so much. I don't think anybody in this country has the right to make a judgment except the two people involved and God. That's
right.
What I think.
Right.
And I hope they figure it out in a court of law. And whatever is right just happens, and I just do feel for both families because I know they're all suffering. So that's kind of sad. But it has not given Florida the best name.
I was just going to say that. I'm like, we have the worst reputation down here. People
don't
across
we?
The country think we're a bunch of idiots.
You know, people just come here and murder. Well, okay, we had the hanging Chads.
Right.
We had Casey Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Trayvon and Zimmerman trial. And it's like, you know, we you and I had the opportunity to go to the Claremont Historical Society
mm-hmm.
on Saturday, and it was really interesting because we met this delightful woman who used to live right out there in Sanford.
Yeah.
And she was like the, I guess you call them the docent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate that word. I don't know why.
I don't really think it's a word. I think people made that up.
No, it's a real word. It's a real word, but it's just like, it just seems so stuffy to say. I like to call them tour guides.
Yeah,
a tour guide.
That's just not real.
I know.
Sorry.
I like to use it in the Southern way. She's a tour guide. She's really sweet. She's a delightful woman, but she was saying that she would not want to live in Sanford anymore because she says there's just a lot of crime
there. Well, there's
too
much turmoil there
all
right
the time.
Now.
Yeah. Well, no, she just said in general. She was saying, you know, it's just too much crime. And I was kind of surprised to hear that because I don't think of Sanford as a crime-ridden area.
There's some areas in Sanford you don't go.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
I mean, there is.
You know,
At night,
you've got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's that way in downtown Orlando.
True.
You know, I was almost carjacked in downtown Orlando. I had to go. I was stopped at a light, and a man was on the corner across the street, and he looked at me. And I wouldn't look at him, but I, you know, looked up,
mm-hmm.
and he started crossing the street, and he started heading toward, and then he starts running towards my car. And of course, I was in a convertible, and at that point, I thought, I'm out of here. And it was a little 5-speed, and I'm telling you, I burned rubber out of there.
That's scary.
And I was a little creeped out.
He could have jumped right in your car.
Well, the roof wasn't down.
Oh.
But when you have a convertible, you know as well as anyone else that a knife is very effective and very quick. And, you know,
you could stab right through the roof and
right through the roof.
Jump
yeah.
In.
I mean, there's, you know, it was a little Capri convertible, too. It wasn't any kind of, you know, with a hard roof that they have now.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, you got to be careful. But it was really cool. We went to the Historical Society, and we saw 5 different homes. One was owned by Mr. and Mrs. Townsend, and that was a black family.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first black family in Claremont. And what I thought was really interesting, she was the only midwife, and she delivered 1,000 babies.
Yes.
And back at the time when, unfortunately, segregation was really big here in the South, she was allowed to deliver both white and black babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of broke the mold, thank God.
She did.
For black people. And her husband opened up a general store.
Mm-hmm.
And they were quite a prominent family.
They were a prominent family.
So.
They even had a door going right to her side of the bed so that they could wake her up during the night to
do deliveries.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I mean, and then she also opened up the first maternity hospital for a
mm-hmm.
black woman, which is, I think was, and they said 1941, which she had to be like 80-something years old. That didn't make sense
to me. That didn't make sense.
No, either she got the dates wrong or we heard it wrong.
I never got 1941. You've been saying that all along, and I never heard that.
Well, okay.
Well, at first you thought the house was built in 1941.
When I said that wasn't possible.
Right.
Yeah, because that house
was
older.
Because it was built in the 1800s.
Yeah, because it was built in the 1800s. I we have some really good dirt, though. This is good stuff that happened. Okay, because y'all know, when you go to tours and,
mm-hmm.
and to these things, you know, you want to see what's happening. You know, you tour these houses, and then we toured the house next door, and it was very interesting and beautiful.
Right.
And it was owned by a family from New Jersey. But, you know, they take these homes and they redo them. Okay, all cool. Then, okay, this gets, okay, 2 cool things. Then we went to, we're going to say that, see, we say stuff no one would ever say, so it's like you were really there, okay? So we went to the library, which was the first official library in Claremont.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from, do you remember the year?
No.
I don't either. It was like 18.
It was a late 1800s.
Yeah, like 1895 or something like
that.
Yeah. Okay. So the woman, she was really sweet, and she was touring us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was so factual and so interesting, and we were the only ones in there. And then what happened?
Then other people came in.
And what did that woman do?
What did she do? She started a conversation. But see, I wasn't there for that conversation. This is, you heard
you
that conversation.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, all right. So here's the dirt. Okay. So you know how, like, you know, you're in the middle of a tour and then another couple walks in. And so you're like, so Jessica and I were, like, looking around. At
see, I was actually looking at other things.
Well, you know me. I always have my, I'm actually very alert to things like
mm-hmm.
that. So they came in, and I heard the woman say to the tour guide, oh, you're a friend of so-and-so's. And the woman says, yes, we have lunch on occasion. And then the woman says, you know he's married. And the woman says, yes, I do. And then the customer came in. She goes, well, you know his wife is in a nursing home. And I thought, oh, my Lord, this is getting good. Pull up a chair. So then the woman says, the tour guide goes, she goes, yes, I do know she's in a nursing home. She said, let me tell you a story. Because she wasn't going to allow this woman to make her feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I think his name, I'm going to say his name was Robert to avoid saying any other name. She goes, Robert and I used to date before the war. And then when the war came, he went off to war. And he was gone for many, many years.
That's the part I heard.
And she eventually met someone and got married.
Mm-hmm.
And he met someone and got married. And they both had children. And then, you know, her husband died, and his wife went into a nursing home, and they've kept in touch over the years, and every
mm-hmm.
once in a while they have lunch, and then the other woman was a little surprised to hear her just be so, you know, verbal about
mm-hmm.
it, and she goes, well, you know, his wife is in a nursing home in wherever, and the woman goes, no, his wife is in this town in this state because his daughter lives close by, so she can visit her all the time, and she goes, oh. She says, yes. She says, and he is one of the nicest, sweetest men and such a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And she just drove that home, and that woman just shut up after that. And I was so impressed with the tour guide
uh-huh.
because this woman obviously was trying to come in and make her feel uncomfortable. You know,
But how ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But then the woman was feeling really insecure. So then as the tour guide starts to the tour again and says, girls, would you like to come over? And we're like, sure, yeah, well, listen, you know, the woman, the customer, she's standing there. And you could tell she's burning up because now she thought she had this juicy thing to come in and nail this one with. So then she goes, she starts trying to over-talk her. Like, you know, as soon as the tour guide goes, and this, of course, was made by the Whitmore Association or whatever, and the woman would go, Whitmore, and she'd go, no, honey, it was Whitmore. And then she'd continue. And the woman kept trying to, it was just hysterical. By the time the tour was over, I think that poor lady was so embarrassed.
She was.
You know, the customer. So I'm really glad the tour guide, she was really quite good, and she held her own. I was really proud of her.
She was a tough little old lady.
She was, and she was like, I swear, she had, if she was 85 at least,
yeah.
You know, if not older. But the other cool part was we then went to a Kwanzaa hut. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever been to one of those, a Kwanzaa hut. It's from World War II. And these are huts that they had, I guess, in Japan or something.
Right.
I don't know. I thought it was from Vietnam, but I guess
I don't know. It wasn't Vietnam.
It was World War II.
Because this was all World War II stuff.
Right. So we walk in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this guy, and he says, come here, girls. And they were referring to us as girls and not ladies, and I really like that.
I love that.
Because they were all 90,000 years old. Okay. So we said yes, and he said, look at that picture. Look at that guy, that flyer. And it was all World War II memorabilia, and one of the cases in the center was this really dashing-looking flyer from World War II, and I said, oh, he's very, very handsome. I said, but you know, I think he's probably more handsome now wearing a checkered shirt. And then he looked at me because it was him.
Yeah,
it was really
cute.
That was really cute. But he was so proud and so nice. He kept forgetting where he was most
of
the
time. Well, he did, because he'd look at you and you'd see, hello,
yeah, and then you'd kind of be like, and so thank you for touring us through this museum here in Claremont. He kind of unfortunately kept, but he was really sweet, nice, and delightful, so that was really neat. And then we went to a brand-new restaurant that had their soft opening.
Yes.
And they need a little more practice before they do their hard opening.
Yes, don't eat the goat cheese. I'm sorry, I didn't like it.
Nope, goat cheese was not good. It was, should we say the name of the restaurant?
Sure, we told her we'd give her
yeah.
a...
It was called the Melon
something?
I have it in the car.
The something Melon.
Something Melon. It is in Claremont. This is the thing. Okay, here's the deal. The food was really good, except, okay, first of all, they had a mushroom soup to die for.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
Oh, my God. It was, you know how, like, some soups are really creamy and
just
really fatty? This was delicious and
it
wonderful.
It was portobello mushroom soup.
And it was really good. And then we ordered the Mediterranean.
It was
flatbread,
but it had goat cheese on it.
Which was odd. But it had wonderful sun-dried tomatoes. And unfortunately, the chicken was a little dry. But like she said, they're testing some recipes, but the service was great,
yes.
friendly. The place was an artist's
dream.
Oh, it was
so cute, yes.
It was so wonderful. So if you ever get over there, I think it's called the Melon Pad or the Melon Patch. I'm not sure.
I don't think it was the Melon Pad.
It's probably the Melon Patch, yes. That makes more sense. Anyway, it was a really good, it was a fun time, wasn't it?
It was. We had a great time.
And then we finished the day at the Lake Ridge Winery, because what Saturday is complete without?
I know, and we went through that wine tasting so fast.
And they were really giving out a lot of wine.
It was
a lot.
I was,
not feeling well by the time that tour was over. But anyway, we were able to get their Southern Red, which makes the best sangria in the world.
Oh, my gosh, it was so good.
And my daughter, who is very good at chopping fruit, had chopped all the fruit, so we got home and everybody gathered around, and we had sangria.
It was
so
good. I could go for some right now.
You know, my daughter actually suggested she was going to make some for us for the show tonight, but I thought, you know, we should probably not do that. I don't know why.
I'm not sure because the listeners, you know, how ridiculous we get.
I exactly, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, maybe not. So tonight, you know we were going to take some callers, but I wanted to talk a little bit about angels tonight. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to some information that I've put together that I think you're going to find really, really interesting.
Oh, remember those walls of steel? Baby, they're tumbling down. They didn't even put up a fight. They didn't even make a sound. It's like I've been awakened.
with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Jenny. I'm here with Jessica.
Yes, hi.
And we're here to talk a little bit about angels tonight. You know, we wanted to talk a little
bit. I love angels.
I do, too. First of all, okay, y'all are going to laugh. Jessica, you want to tell them what I have?
An angel book.
I have an angel book, a beautiful angel book, and it's got beautiful angels in it. And you can see just it's almost three-dimensional. It's so beautiful.
It is. It looks three-dimensional to me.
It does. Really, maybe you've been drinking. All right, I'm gonna admit that I actually have a pop-up angel
book. It's a pop-up angel book, and I've been making fun of you.
I know, but I love it. Look how beautiful. It's so beautiful. If you ever get a chance, it's called the Angel Pop-Up Book by Chuck Fisher. I can't even say it and keep a straight face, but it's a really beautiful book, and I wanted to show it to you. But I want to talk about archangels tonight. So there's all different kinds of angels. There's religious angels. There's secular angels. There's angels that came about before the time of Jesus Christ. So there's all different kinds of angels. We're talking about angels that are related to God,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's most of what most people think of when we talk about angels, right? We think about angels
well,
and
God. Well,
angels
from God, right.
Seraphim and cherubim.
Because they're God's angels.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk first about Michael, Archangel Michael.
Who is my favorite.
He is, too. Do you want to know why do you think he's your favorite?
Because I picture him being the most powerful of all the angels,
mm-hmm.
the most protective of all the angels, the fighter who will just go to battle for you.
Yes, I totally
mm-hmm.
agree, and that's exactly what he is. Michael is the greatest archangel both in Judaism, Christianity, and actually also in Islam. And he is the chief in the like angelic hierarchy of God's greatest warrior. He's often depicted in battle, or he's also shown sometimes weighing the souls of the departed. Because Michael is the angel of righteousness and repentance.
Mm, okay.
So that's
kind of
interesting. Now, one of the angels I've always loved, I don't know why, I've always felt an association with three angels, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to talk about Gabriel. Archangel Gabriel follows a really strong angelic importance, and that is the angel of annunciation, mercy, death, revelation, and resurrection. And I didn't know that until I actually studied it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jewish legend says that Gabriel brought God's rain of fire and brimstone to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah.
I have.
They sell ice cream on the corner. No, I'm only kidding. Sodom and Gomorrah. And Gabriel is the only other angel besides Michael named in the Old Testament, which I think is interesting.
Huh.
So when you go to the Old Testament, it's only Michael and Gabriel. But
those were the original angels.
The original angels, and for me, and I don't know why this is, Gabriel's always held a special importance. Like I always see Gabriel as the messenger, the writer, the teacher, the journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, and I know that Gabriel likes to help coach people when they write.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm writing something, I always ask for Gabriel to help guide my hand. He also and I say he, even though they're not gender specific, but for me it's a he.
Uh-huh.
They will also push people, interestingly enough, into action. It doesn't mean that they push you in a direction, but they push you into the action that you're maybe ready to go in, but you're just kind of holding back. So that's kind of neat. And Gabriel will help you connect with your personal power.
Okay.
So that's important. The other thing about Gabriel is considered the healer and the helper of pregnancies and childbirth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you know somebody who's who's going through or who is pregnant or has had a child, Gabriel is a good one to go to and ask for help. So during the pregnancy, even for a happy, healthy birth, he or she, however you see Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
What gender.
Well, Gabriel seems like a man's name.
I would see Gabriel as a man, so for me it's a he. But,
well, Gabriel, Michael, those are men's names.
Well, you're right. They are. And they say angels are not gender specific, but to me, I always see them as men.
Yeah.
Maybe women see them as men or however, because I see them as a symbol of strength, and I see men as a symbol of strength.
Well, like Michael, he's a warrior. He is
a
he.
Yeah, he. He's always the one. I always see him with a sword when
right.
I see Michael. So,
mm-hmm.
But Gabriel will assist mothers and children on all levels of conception, childbirth. If you're looking to adopt, ask Archangel Gabriel to come help you. Also in parenting, if you're so that's why I said sometimes, you know, even after the child's born, you can ask for Archangel Gabriel to come help and guide you. So you know, I look, I have two daughters, 16 and going to be 18, and let me tell you, sometimes I need Gabriel's help.
Yeah.
We all need Gabriel's help. And Gabriel, his color is copper. And by the way, the gemstone often associated with Gabriel is citrine.
Oh, okay.
Which is a piece that I have over.
Which
love.
I love.
I love citrine, and it's very good, and it's sitting right here. Okay, so the other angel that I wanted to talk about tonight is Raphael. Now, Raphael is known as the shining angelic healer of the sick and also revered for his warrior skills, which, again, we think of Archangel Michael for that normally, right? But this is really important because we've talked about Raphael before. Raphael was the one who let me kind of go back. The book of Tobit says that Raphael restored the blind in Tobit's vision and counseled his son in the ways of medicine and defending against all evil. But what I also know about Raphael, Raphael was supposed to have been and is means he who heals. He's the angel of prayer, love, joy, light, science, and knowledge. But he also protects people who travel, guarding and guiding those who take journeys, whether it's an outward journey or an inward journey. You know, some people are on like a spiritual journey.
Right.
So he can guide them. He also is the one who grants people courage and encourages scientific breakthroughs and knowledge just in general. So that's kind of like two specific things. But I would say courage and looking for a scientific breakthrough often go hand in hand because, you know, you're looking for ways to cure. You know, who knows if the person who came up, Louis Pasteur, right? Did I say that right?
Pasteur? You did. Pasteur.
Okay, and what did he develop? You don't know, do you?
I do.
Oh, was it penicillin or what?
Penicillin,
okay,
yeah.
Very good. Okay. Sure. Okay, so like maybe Raphael was there guiding him with courage so that he could find the scientific knowledge. But Raphael is one of the seven chief angels, and he was also charged with the healing of Earth. Now, this is some of the things that I, you know, a lot of people haven't talked about, but he will also assist you in eliminating cravings and addictions.
Okay.
So people who have a drug or alcohol or even food addictions, he would be a good one to ask for assistance from. But he also can increase, and this is very important for people who are listening who are psychic or who want to increase their psychic intuition, he can increase your clairvoyance or your what I call your third eye, your brow or your third eye, and he works to enhance both your physical and your spiritual eyesight.
Oh, interesting.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I just think it's neat. Now, he also works with Michael, Archangel Michael, to clear out lower energies. Now, interesting. So if you're looking to clear your home of some benevolent spirits, I would say Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael are two people you should call upon.
Okay.
Because they're healers and clearers and cleansers of the earth. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here because I wasn't going to talk about Raphael right now, but I'm going to here because there's been a little talk about Raphael and how to even pronounce the name, Raphael.
Raphael?
It's Raphael.
Okay.
Okay.
And we were just talking about Raphael.
And we were talking about Raphael. It's actually Raphael.
Raphael.
Okay. And his name means secrets of God. Now, he was actually one of the main focus of one of our shows before because Raziel, and I say it differently each time, don't I?
You do.
I know, I just
you
noticed
put an
that.
Emphasis on it.
I'm going to say it's Raziel.
Raziel.
Or Raziel. It doesn't really matter. It's Raziel.
Raziel.
It's how I want to say it because I'm doing the show, darn it. No, it's Raziel. And it's the angel of secrets. And all of the regions of the supreme mysteries. And this is really important because he can help remove spiritual and psychic blocks. He can help you gain deeper spiritual understanding and then help you apply it in practical ways. So, for instance, if you're looking to understand maybe how God fits into your life or how certain things could have happened in your life, because a lot of people wonder, you know, how could this horrible thing or all this misfortune happen and God still be looking out for my highest and best good?
Right.
You can ask Raziel to help you with that. He will also take your soul. This is important. I didn't mean to stop it there. He will take your soul traveling in your dreams to help you discover truths and ancient wisdoms, and then become part of your subconscious with you when you wake up.
No way.
So,
that's interesting.
That to me is kind of like teleporting in a way, you know. So if you go to bed tonight and you ask Raziel to guide you to some maybe ancient places and show you some of the wisdom that you need to know that you can store in your subconscious mind, so that you can call on that when you need to, that would be pretty cool. Now, he's also known as the Wizard of the Archangels. Now, I want to be careful with that, because when you say wizard,
I think of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I do too. You know, but they've described him as the Wizard of the Archangels, and helps you under ideas that normally defy logic.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like miracles. When angels create, or God has a miracle that happens, that defies logic sometimes.
Right.
You know, like there's no way to scientifically explain what's happening. Then he kind of helps you let go of like limited thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's kind of cool. He can also assist you with clairvoyance and more of the esoteric information that sometimes we get into. And he also is known for his ability to help you manifest your heart's desires. He's very loving and kind and intelligent. But the thing I want to say about Raziel, because we have talked about him, when he says the secrets of God, his name means secrets of God, it's because he was supposed to be second to God. And
really?
He was on the same plane, as it was my understanding. And it's funny because I've read several books, and some mention him and some do not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was said to have taken the book of Tobit and had given it, and I forget who he had given it to, forgive me, and I should know this, but I know that some of the other angels got really upset, and they took it and threw it in the sea, and because that possessed that book, all of the supreme mysteries of the world, that God let him be witness to and hear, and that was recorded in the Book of Tobit. So it's just kind of interesting. I just think he's an interesting angel.
Yeah.
There's a little bit, you know, it's kind of like there's controversy with angels, just like I would say there's controversy on who shot Lincoln and who shot Kennedy.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of that way. So I just think our angels are really great, but we could talk more about angels in a minute. I just thought that might be interesting to people to hear. I know it's certainly interesting for me to hear. We'll be back in two, and if anybody has any questions, we'll be right here.